I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bob, as soon as Mike Tallman gave his answer to this question yesterday, I knew it was going to be a story. And sure enough, it was on the top headlines on ESPN and everything else. And people in Cleveland were asking Stefanski about it. And people in Cincy were asking Zach Taylor about it. I mean, this was unreal. This was just like you know, found Tomlin at the team hotel late at night, sat down, had a beer, and got his honest feelings on something, which he never or rarely gives you at news conferences. Like most coaches, he just spews cliches a lot of the time, frankly, on Tuesdays. And yesterday, he didn't. He was, I thought, direct. He was annoyed, he admitted afterwards. Good. Then maybe that's what prompted him to have a little more of a real back and forth with reporters than the stuff we usually get on Tuesdays. I thought it was great. And man, if you had stopped the tape after this question, I thought the answer was going to be what other teams do in this division's no business of mine. Something like that, right? Instead, it went like this.
You've coached in the AFC North longer than anybody. What did you make of the rarity of seeing an intra-divisional trade of experienced quarterback inside the division?
You know, to be honest, it was shocking to me. Andrew Berry must be a lot smarter than me or us. Because it doesn't make sense to me to trade a quarterback that you think enough of to make your opening day starter to a division opponent that's hurting in that area. But that's just my personal feelings.
When the Bengals acquired him, knowing what you know about Zach and how he likes to run his offense, like from Cincinnati's perspective, did it make sense for them?
It certainly made sense from Cincinnati's perspective.
Bob, I don't know when the last time, and I saw Jerry Dulac reference this in his chat today, the last time I remember an NFL coach taking a shot at an opposing GM and team, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. What did you make of this, and what do you make of the accusation here, or the charge that this was basic incompetence by the Browns? Why do you think they did this?
I think most of it is the fact that, you know, Cincinnati has been struggling with Jake Browning, and they have been an ineffective offense. And all of a sudden, before this game and one game prior to it, they make a trade of their starting quarterback. I know that he finds that to be just a bad move to make, especially since you declared Joe Flacco your starting quarterback. But I think it probably goes deeper. There's got to be something behind it. And one thing I've known about Mike Tomlin is that when he does speak, though, on something that he feels pretty, motivated about, he will come out and tell you things that you may not expect. When it comes to overseeing teams and talking about their players, I mean, he's going to do what he does, and most coaches do that. They know this is the NFL, it's tough to win, and he's going to talk about those guys that he has to deal with. But this was unusual, but I think there's got to be a deeper layer to it. And again, I go back to what Kevin Stefanski said the day this happened, and he was doing a press conference, and he admitted that he had no idea it was going to happen. When you hear stuff like that, you have to wonder, what kind of rift is there between the GM and the coach, who's been on a hot seat just because they're floundering as they do every year, but I don't think it's all his fault. And maybe it was just coach sticking up for coach.
Maybe. Why do you think the Browns did this move? I mean, obviously they want to go
to... I have no good reason for it, because they didn't get anything. They swapped draft picks. Fifth and sixth rounds, I think it was. What did they really get? And you would have thought that with the young quarterbacks, Joe Flacco, and I thought one of the reasons why he was there in the first place was to help those young quarterbacks deal with the minutia that comes with the NFL season, understanding how tough it is, what reads you can make, much like Aaron Rodgers has helped Mason Rudolph and Will Howard. So what's the point of bringing him in and then getting rid of him if he has a role on that team, even if he's not playing?
Are the paranoid amongst us justified in their feelings if they think the Browns did it to screw over the Steelers?
Who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case, but I just find it weird that they did this. I think, you know, again, my gut feeling tells me there's something there that we don't know about, whether it's feelings with Andrew Berry or he's sticking up for Kevin Stefanski.
I don't think Mike's an Andrew Berry fan. It certainly doesn't sound that way. I got a question in my mailbag. Did the Browns do this to ensure that the Bengals would finish ahead of them and therefore get a better draft pick?
It doesn't matter because they'll blow it. Right? I mean, what are they going to do with a better draft pick? The way they've gone, the fact that you have 41 starting quarterbacks in a 25-year span tells you everything you need to know. And they had Baker Mayfield, who they drafted first overall, and they could have kept him, and they decided to go against it in favor of Deshaun Watson. What does that tell you?
Next. What do you got, Limits?
I would like to tell you about what happened with Brian Batko. And
I still have to tell you something first.
You
and
do.
I apologize for this. Even after a reminder from my friend Limits. Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Limits?
I would like to remind you and let Bob know about what went on with Brian Bacco's questioning on Darnell Washington.
Oh, boy.
And also the Thursday night struggles the Steelers had first.
I know a lot of the guys were talking about how you teed up Darnell for that week against the Browns. How fun was it to watch him follow through and embrace that and play like that?
I'll keep our in-house business in-house.
And then...
same time, you guys have struggled on Thursday nights recently, particularly on the road. Is there anything you can put your finger on as a through line or anything you do?
I'm only concerned about 2025. I got my ass kicked in a lot of ways over the last 19 years.
So, does Tomlin have a problem with Batko like he does Andrew Berry, or was that just good stuff, Bob?
I don't think at all. I think he just, that's how he views it, you know?
I love those answers, too,
but
especially
I do too.
The second one.
The second one was a good one because he acknowledges, he knows how this goes. They've been really good on Sunday nights and Monday nights, but Thursday nights not been their business.
And coming off bye weeks and against rookie quarterbacks.
Right, all of that is in his favor.
And against the Browns and Bengals for the most part.
So, but this Thursday night has been a bugaboo. 0-6 in the division on the road against these teams, and something's got to give.
How about the first question on Mount Washington? Was that just Tomlin not wanting to pump up Mount Washington's tires? He just wanted to avoid that topic?
I think he's done stuff like that before, not trying to pump up guys like Nick Herbig when he knows he's on a an ascending voyage here to becoming a good player. And sometimes you don't want to make, you know, if you start praising people too much, because I've talked to other coaches who used to do this and say that's the wrong approach sometimes. They start hearing this and they think they're better than they really are at the time, you know. So who knows what goes in. I'll tell you what, he's a very smart man. He knows how to articulate whatever message he wants for the most part. Man, he comes at you and he's more entertaining to watch than Kevin Stefanski or any of these coaches who just don't even want to answer questions. Even when he doesn't answer a question, he does it in a way that makes you interested, I think.
He did yesterday. Sometimes I get very bored with the cliches on Tuesday.
But they all do it that way. They all do, yeah. They're not going to come out and say, hey, this team stinks and we should kick their butts all over the field. What does that do for you, you know? So
next.
The Graves Digger got out his shovel, Joe. And
Will Graves, Bob, you have him on the showdown.
What did he do?
Listen.
You guys paid Pat a significant chunk of money a couple summers ago. The production in relation to the numbers hasn't been there, but I talked to him.
Wait, I'm sorry, say it again, please.
The production, like he's not getting.
Who?
Fryerbuth. I'm sorry, Fryerbuth. He's not getting a lot of targets right now just because of the way this scheme is the games are unfolding, but he's also not out there complaining about it. He told me yesterday, hey, look, my time is going to come. Do you find that that mindset, which hasn't necessarily been the way it's been here for a while, maybe pervasive throughout the offensive unit as a whole, and how much of this may be Aaron's influence in it?
I think that is very reflective of the environment here. I disagree with you. He's a good teammate. We're winning games. We're gaining cohesion. He's certainly capable. He knows his time is going to come to ante up and kick in. He better be ready. I'm sure he will be. That's just how we go about our business.
Bob, what did you make of that exchange?
I thought he's just protecting the player and his team. He's not gonna come out and think he's talking about him as past tense, or we're not using him for this reason or that. Again, that doesn't. He knows at some point he's going to get an opportunity, and I still believe he will. He's too talented not to. They paid him money for that reason. So it's just a matter of when that happens, and I think that's the message he was trying to play. Don't underestimate his lack of usage or lack of snaps at this point. There's going to be times for him, and I still think that's the case.
Not against four-three teams.
If you do not have a number two legit receiver and you're looking for ways to move the ball, how could you ignore him?
But the story there to me was Tomlin vehemently defending the idea or rejecting the idea that this has been the case with other players who have gone the opposite of Freiermuth and been selfish. Tomlin seems to reject that notion. Somebody needs to remind him of George Pickens, of Deontay Johnson, two guys who basically quit at times during games, I might add. George Pickens bitching and moaning about not getting the ball, things like that. I'm not buying Tomlin's argument there. Are you?
I think that's how he wants it to be perceived, the way he presented it. It may not be true in certain cases. I don't think you can satisfy everybody who comes into your system. You're certainly dealing with players who have their own agendas and their own red flags, and they knew there are red flags on some of these guys coming out of school. So you try to do it, but you're not going to give away any secrets about what you guys try to do as a culture. So I think you're thinking very deeply into this, and I understand why, but I don't think that's that big of an issue right now. I think there are certain guys who you know are going to be players you got to deal with, and they may not respond to you the way you want them to. That's professional sports. That happens everywhere. So I'm not surprised by that.
By what?
By guys who do what they do regardless of what you think your culture is. They go against it. They do things that are not an endorsement of your culture, you know, and yet you talk about it, but at the same time, here you have somebody who's not listening to what you're saying. That happens all the time in sports.
Right.
And that's why guys leave, and that's why guys are left to leave. So
that's why you shouldn't draft certain guys.
But Bob, they knew that going in.
Right, but then they got rid of him, but you say they should still have him.
Again, my context of keeping him, George Pickens, was because I felt that for 1 year, they put up with 3 years of him, right, Joe? They have. They knew what they were doing. So they put up with three.
And it got progressively worse.
Okay, but this is the 1 year. And I'm one of these guys, if I were a GM, I want people playing for money. If I know you're going to have something that you're really going to be motivated to play for, then I trust that that'll be your only thing that you're going to do. You're going to focus so hard on the carrot at the end of this season that it could lead you into a five-year deal for whatever millions of dollars or not. And if you act like the way you acted here, you're not going to get that done. People are going to know the reputation's out there.
So you think Pickens will be putting up those kinds of numbers here?
I believed he would have had to, especially opposite DK Metcalf, yes. I thought their answer for a number two was here. I get why they moved him. That's the decision they made. I would have wanted him here just because I think he would have cashed in on 1 year left, and it's 1 year only. This is your opportunity to make or break your career, your future money. Are you going to be stupid enough to throw it away?
Yes.
I don't think he's done that. I think if anything,
done that in Dallas. CeeDee Lamb got hurt, and that's a way different offense and a way different environment.
But he still had numbers before. He has six touchdown receptions so far this year, in six games.
Right.
It's pretty good pace.
You think he would have those numbers here, six touchdowns and all these yards with DK Metcalf in this offense?
I think they would have complemented one another, and at least he would have been looked at as somebody who can be a potential number one someplace else at the end of the season. I would not, regardless of what he put up on paper this year, I would not have signed him after this year. I would have used this 1 year and this 1 year only to bank on his production trumping any of the nonsense.
I don't know that he would have made it out of minicamp if he even showed up. I think this is a way, way different
situation. Why do you think he's doing it down there then? Why do you think he's
fresh situation, starting number one receiver out, offense different, high flying passing offense,
and
what?
Money.
Okay. That's a lot of factors in addition to money, though.
Money trumps everything when you're a young guy and you know you have one year.
I've seen other guys throw it away.
Maybe so.
You don't think Deontay Johnson would be making more money right now? Of course, he did it after he got his money.
Right. What I'm saying to you is I think money trumps this. That's all I would base this on. I would not have re-signed him at, I don't care how many catches and touches, because I know I have DK Metcalf at $150 million.
Yeah.
This guy isn't making that. He will, not 150, but he'll make a lot more that I can't afford after this year. But if he uses this year as sort of the springboard to that contract, yeah, I'll take that, and I'll use it to my advantage.
I hear you. You have more faith in what would have happened here than I do.
I was making a bet. That's the bet I would have made.
After they gave another man his job, number one wideout, and his money that he thought he was going to get here.
But again, what option does he have at that point?
And put him in this offense.
What option does he have at that point? That all happened.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about him like he's somebody who would have rationally approached the situation and done what was best for him and the team.
I think he has rationally approached it in Dallas.
We'll see. It's early yet.
I understand that.
We're a third of the way into the season. Things have gone great for him, not so great for the team.
He's been great. I'm not endorsing anything that George Pickens has done. He deserved what he got. He deserved being reprimanded. And if they wanted to move away, he created all of this.
Yeah.
But I was betting on 1 year. That's all I was betting on.
And maybe it would have happened. We'll never know. Very different, two very, very different situations. And it seemed like it was pretty much poisoned here.
I'm sure it was. Believe me, I know it's not been great. He's caused a lot of friction. I get it. But there have been other guys. I mean, Antonio Brown was not friction-free when he was here putting up his big numbers, too. He had some issues
going
on. And
I guess it finally blew up. You have a ticking time bomb. You got to predict when it's going to blow up. You would have given it a year.
I would have waited one more year, and I would have said, okay, then blow up elsewhere. You get your money, and then you have to.
You might be right. You know, we had the Martavis Bryant ticker. We had the Deontay Johnson ticker, the Chase Claypool ticker.
Deontay Johnson, as you said, was fine up until he got his money.
Yeah.
And see, when George gets his money, oh boy, that could be a big problem. But again, I think the money's out there.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. In the hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. For over 50 years, Bob, we'll wrap it up next with a little Penguins prediction, maybe a couple of them.
Can I read a tweet for you, too, before you go?
Yeah.
This is from Jason of Slippery Rock. Did you see this?
No.
Austin, you did, probably. It says, people around here follow the NBA more than people think. This is in response to somebody else who put something out there about NBA doesn't matter. That you and I should do an NBA segment. Hmm. I wouldn't be opposed to that. I like talking about the NBA. I know you do too, Joe. You watch it.
I'm wearing a Golden State Warriors hat even as we speak, Bob, on my way to Neverwood for a golf round.
There you go.
I can't wait.
Maybe you can hit threes just like Steph Curry. Threes on the scorecard.
And he's a great golfer too. Did you see him get a hole in one last year?
He's unbelievable. Yeah, he is, and he loves the sport. Most of these elite athletes love golf. They're out there playing all the time, and their athleticism allows them to hit the ball the way they hit the ball. He's tried out for tours. He's that good.
I'm jealous of that, Bob.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob, it's time for What's Cooking, brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly in the 50-minute mark on the fan. We're coming up to that, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Brian Batko, I just saw this, wrote an interesting piece at postgazette.com about the turf the other day, Bob.
And what were the findings?
Well, his lead is very good. Chris Boswell has just two missed field goals this season, but one was blocked and the other has a grasterisk. You like that, Bob?
Well, he had made how many in a row from 50? I think Chris wanted that streak to go on, and this was 54, and I think he would have made it.
Probably based on his history, yeah. This is why the Batconian mongoose gets the big bucks with a grasterisk. That's unbelievable. That was a problem the other day, and it looked like the Miles Killebrew significant injury may have been caused by it, and they almost lost their all-world kicker. That was almost a blown-out knee. Yeah. I don't know what's going on over there, but you can't have that. You just can't. For a game.
Well, the strange thing was there was no play on it for 2 weeks. When Pitt played Louisville there, the place looked wonderful. You did not see that. So I have no idea. There may have been some sort of, who knows, what goes underneath there with a watering system that may not. I don't know what. All I know is it turned brown in a hurry. And we haven't had rain, but they should not. That should not be an issue. The good news is they immediately changed it. I think that was the plan all along. They were going to do it at some point, and this was going to be the point. Because Pitt's out of town, the Steelers are going to be out of town, and so they have to look at it from that point of view. So I think that was already in the plans, but
it was almost a week way too late.
Yeah, because when he got his knee stuck.
I mean, it was for Killebrew.
Yeah, Boswell, the plant foot didn't move, and that's really dangerous, you know.
Do they always replace the field?
Yeah, once a year.
I thought this is going to be twice a year then, because they always do it after Whipple Championships.
Yeah, but they may do it twice. I'm not sure how that goes.
Do they still play the Whipple Championships?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah. Saturday,
four out of the six,
all on one day. So, but well, again, I did not see that field looking that way when Pitt played Louisville.
I know, it's
weird. And nothing happened between then and the next game, which was the Steeler game.
Now he breaks it down into exactly what kind of turf they use, et cetera. So it's a good story by Batko. Finishes. Will the Steelers do anything about it? They're resodding the field, but Pitt and the Steelers both play here very soon. I'm not going to get into the kind of bluegrass it is, Bob. Nobody cares.
You're a grass person now because you have to analyze grass.
I'm not
grass.
A horticulture expert.
No, but you play golf, which means you have to know grain, not grain, all
I'm always
that stuff.
Amazed how the divots one day are like fixed by the next day, Bob. How does that happen?
Yeah, well, they have that stuff, the seeds with sand, put it in there, water it, and goes away. I don't know how they do it. It's magical.
Time will tell, Batko says, if the Steelers and the publicly funded Acrisure Stadium use this particular firestorm of criticism to replace the grass more often, increase the size of their grounds crew, or perhaps change providers. I don't know, man, but that was inexcusable. So find a way to fix it is what I would say. You can't have a game like that in your home stadium. Lose one, your special teams captain, and almost lose one of the most important players on your team. Aaron Rodgers ripped the field conditions after the game, and rightfully so, Bob. Borderline unplayable.
Yeah, he cited Green Bay. I don't know who's in charge of their stuff over there, but he said he never had a problem over there. So the good news is there's a new surface. So hopefully it'll withstand whatever it has to withstand. And you're right, Austin, the WPIO championship games are coming up. I think it's November 22nd.
Yeah.
So,
meanwhile, we'll see. Bob, the Penguinkians are back on the schedule tonight.
Anaheim's a good young team.
They're in Anaheim.
Still trying to figure out how to get better and make a playoffs several years after their big three left. So,
how long do you think Kyle Dubas is giving this thing? What I mean is, are they going to become a viable team, like, you know, a team first, defense oriented, capital Spencer Carberry type team that hangs around for a while and maybe more than that? Or are they going to stink? And how long do you give it before you start making moves?
I don't think they're going to stink. I think they're going to be a decent team.
But you'll acknowledge there's a possibility.
Of course there is. There's a possibility that they can also do what Carberry did. And I'll shock everyone with the way he, you know, his system and the guys who bought into his system, and they're younger guys mostly. But I think you have to, you know, it's hard for players. And when you have Sidney Crosby on your team, the last thing you want to do is start moving away pieces because he's there to try to win. He still wants to win.
He's going to be a very unhappy man if they get off to a terrible start.
Yeah.
That's the first
thing. So far, 2-1. We'll see how this trip goes. This is typically a tough trip for them to make. Anaheim's an improving team. The Kings are a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. So we'll see. And also, the goaltending in the next month will be answered. You may see Mirashov, who's off to a good start down there at Wilkes-Barre-Scranton, up here.
I'm ready to see him now. And I know Shelov and Jari both played well in their first games anyway. That's great. I want to see the future. I want to watch this kid play.
Yeah, so do I. And I think... Again, it'll be dictated on by how these guys do, especially on this trip away from here. So we'll see probably both goaltenders.
Probably, yeah.
Shelov did not look good against the Rangers, but the Rangers were due to do something like that, too.
Sunny today with a high of 70. Ernie Stautner, low of 55. Cole Holcomb, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Bob, do you think I'm going to play well at Neville Wood today? Now, the second last time I was there, my car alarm went off for a long time because I locked my keys in my truck.
That story. How about that story? I remember that story.
Everybody was laughing at me there. I don't really belong in a place like that anyway.
Sure you do.
But everybody was laughing at me. It's a very prestigious place, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really.
Do you say prestigious or prestigious?
Prestigious. That's what I say.
What do you say, Limits?
I say prestigious.
Yeah, I say prestigious. Do you have a problem with that?
Not at all. Tomato, tomato.
I think you're going to do well.
You do?
I think you're going to. You just keep the ball in play and don't three putt. Hard to do on that course, but don't three putt.
Don't three putt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's advice for sure, but I don't know if that's like saying hit it straight. Of course, I want to hit it straight and not three putt.
Well, your problems normally come off either off the tee or on the green.
I stink, Bob. I'm a golfing fraud, and everybody knows it. And they're going to laugh at me, huh?
You just had 9 pars at Moon.
I know, but that ain't Neville Wood.
It's golf.
I'm a golfing fraud, Bob, and everyone there is going to laugh at me.
I could see you playing and Ron one day showing up on a beer cart, which has a bunch of, you know, Modelos or whatever he drinks down there, free and free light.
Yeah. What if I retired and just went and lived with Ron, and I'd play golf and he drank?
That would be the odd couple.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, the version
I'm
of
Tony
the odd
Randall
couple.
And he's Jack Klugman.
Jack Klugman, yeah.
You remember that
I
show?
I remember. I love those two together. I mean, very good concept, and those two were perfect.
Everything sucks, Bob.
Joe, just go out and have fun. It's a beautiful day.
I know.
You're going to love it.
Believe me, I feel
like I want to hear a report.
But they are going to laugh at me. I don't even know the guy I'm playing with.
All the better. I went to Pebble Beach this year with no knowledge of who I was playing with, 30 guys. And we had a great time. And you got to meet him, talk to him. Golf can do that for you.
Did you play beer drinking games?
No.
Too old for that?
No, we were tired. We played, ate, had a few drinks, went to bed. Get up, play again, eat,
have
drink,
drinks,
go to bed.
Thank you, Bob. You're a wonderful man. Are you going to be here this week?
No, I have a golf thing. I'm going to be here Saturday, Bob. But you're not going to be here Saturday. I'll be here.
Saturday?
That's what I got yesterday confused. I thought the Tomlin presser was Tuesday. I thought yesterday was Tuesday.
Every day it changes.
Today is Wednesday. Now it's Tuesday.
Monday.
What's today?
Good night, Bob.
Tuesday.
Good night,
Bob. Good
night. See you guys. Bye-bye.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.